Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I turned that down pretty low. I was trying to use that good people as an intro, but I kind of turned it down a little too low. But again, welcome to your edition of FOL Talk Show. I am your girl, TCG, actress Teresa Guilford. You have joined us on the SOL Talk Show. You are now listening to Speak Out Loud Productions. We're glad to be back with you all this week. We got some exciting things that we're going to bring to the forefront, some great conversations with your host, TCG, and my co-host today. I will definitely be introducing him as well. That's right, you've tuned into the number one buzz station. So the SOL's bringing you all of your favorite actors and actresses, what's going on in their lives. Basically, we're speaking on the ins and the outs, the ups and the downs, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. We're giving you our up-close and encounters firsthand. We're giving you our journeys in the acting world, definitely, and in our lives as well. So, yes, I have the First Side Inside Edition for you, the tea for you. I am your girl again, actress TCG, coming to you from SOL Talk Show. I am joined by none other than the number one and only Adrienne Quarles, a.k.a. ADQ of North Carolina. I'll let him give you his city because he lives in North Carolina, but I know he's grew up a few different places around the NC, so I'll let him introduce himself as well, and we're going to get into some great talk with ADQ as well and let you know what he is up to. ADQ, if you're on the line, give us a quick hello. Let the people know that you're out there and where you're from.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy ADQ, live and direct. Where am I from? Currently in Greensboro. Did some time in the Trace Bowl, but originally I'm from Shelbytown, Shelby, North Carolina.
All right, that's what I like to hear. Now, where is Shelby? I mean, how was it growing up in Shelby?
Shelby is like it's like 45 miles west of Charlotte. You know, right before you hit the mountains. And Shelby, you know, it's a small town yet full of life, kind of like Mayberry. Wonderful place to grow up and whatnot. I love it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, definitely, I can't wait to hear more about that too as well. So we have some great things in store for you guys. Definitely appreciate you all joining. And if you have joined in via blog, you can call in to speak to me, your host, or my guest, my co-host, by pressing 1, by dialing the number 914-803-4442. You can press number 1 to speak to our guest or me, your lovely host. And definitely we'll be able to answer any questions, get your chimes in, whatever you have for us. We'd love to hear your feedback. That's one thing that we do like doing here at the Soul Table is we sit down as a family and we have dinner. We have our dessert. We give you we just open up and give you everything. So just relax. I want everybody to just let their hair down, kick your feet up, get you a drink of tea, coffee, water, whatever your juice, whatever your preference is. Get that and get ready for a great show today. I do want to start off by just kind of giving a little bit of insight as to who actor Adrienne Quarles is as well. And he has a few titles behind his name. But I do want to just kind of give you a brief summary of what I've learned concerning his bio, or the short bio that I have, and then I'm going to let him fill on in the rest of that too as well. But I do have, again, Adrienne Quarles on the line with me, and basically from what I've met Adrienne 3 years ago. Well, it'll be 3 years come May of this year that I've been in North Carolina, so almost 3 years that I've known him. Great guy to get to know you guys. He's down to earth. He will definitely give you the inside. He is not a fake person, so he's going to give you the real. But Adrienne, he is known as ADQ, is an actor, a writer, and a college student originally from Shelby, North Carolina, as he stated. He is currently on a third-year theater major at UNC Greensboro. Shout out to UNC. As well as he is currently touring as King Midas in the Drama Center at City Arts Production, King Midas and the Golden Touch. Most recently, he was Grandpa George in the UNCG production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I definitely want to hear more about that because growing up, that was one of my favorite stories. Yes, I'm a chocolate fan, so that might have had some insight to it, but I love the story and I love the metaphorical words that they used in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so I definitely want to hear about your experience with that. Back to him, though, other past productions that he has done included Deacon, Counterfeit, and Let the Church Say Amen, Joseph, and I'm not for sure exactly how to pronounce this last name. I will tear up a last name in a minute, or a name, Adrian as well. So help me out with this one. I know it's Joseph Asagay, or is that how you say that?
Asagay.
Asagay. Okay, so we got Joseph. Yeah. He was in Joseph Asagay and a raisin in the sun, mother of Ginger in the Nutcracker, and also, wait a minute, you weren't the mother of Ginger in the Nutcracker, were you?
Yes, I was mother Ginger in the Nutcracker.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I read that correctly. We'll get into you guys. I'll give you the inside of that. But nevertheless, also he played in Trumples in the Guilford College production of Godspell, to name just a few. And he's done other things, too, as well, so I definitely want to get into that. I know he's had some great, great historical things take place recently, too, as well, with his own writing, so I want to dive into that, too, as well. But Adrian has also written Aprender. Is that how you say that?
Right, Aprender.
Espanol. Okay, Aprender Espanol, and Time with the Plans to produce them one day. So he definitely is the Aprender Espanol and the Time. Those are the things that he has written so far. Plus, of course, we're going to dive into his brain, see what else he's up to. Adrian has also co-written the student film Getaway. I cannot pronounce anything today. Getaway. Adrian is also a poet and a hip-hop artist. He also occasionally volunteers for the mentorship group building ongoing legacies together and occasionally becomes involved in various forms of activism. I mean, just reading just a little bit. I don't know if you've ever had someone read your bio back to you and you know, you pay attention to everything that's being said, but my hat's got to go off to you because definitely I want to talk about some adversaries and some challenges that you've faced and you know, limitations that were put on you via other people that allowed you to arise above those occasions. So definitely I want to talk about that too as well. But just reading your bio, the little bit that I do have, was just amazing to see. You know, the things that you do and then how you give back. And that's one of my biggest things is, you know, no matter how much we do as actors or walking out into our dreams, it's what we do to give back to other people. And that's what I look at first and foremost. So I have to give a salut and a hats off to you, King, for that. Definitely, if you want to just kind of elaborate a little bit, you're more than welcome. Elaborate a little bit on what I've spoken on. I mean, I know I kind of summed it all up. I'm not going to tell your age, but I've summed up your journey thus far in life in one short term. So I would like for you to just kind of dive in if there's anything that you wanted to add to that, to give to people. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I'm not ashamed to say I'm 32, be 33 in September.
All right.
Second of all, yeah, like you said, I don't give back as much as I could, but I'm trying to completely throw my hat completely in there because I believe that we are a miseducated race. Of people, and I think that it's a team effort to stop the cycle from going from like my generation to the next generation and to the following generation. So I try to be part of the village that helps raise a child, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely, it does, definitely. And I thank you for doing that because we need more, you know, I think with our children these days, we need more of that out here. You know, we need more mentorship. We need to show them, not just let the leaders in Congress or, you know, in our schools, but outside of our schools too as well, show them, awaken their dreams, you know, inside of them. We get so busy in the plans and routines that sometimes we forget to awaken the dreams and keep those dreams alive and push those dreams that are in our children, our generations to come. You know, those are who we're supposed to pass the torch to. So salute to you for continuing to pass the torch on to the younger generation, because that's what I think that we are here for. You know, besides the fact of awakening our own dreams and living out part of that dream, and I think every human being on earth have one assignment that's, you know, that's common, and that's to pass the torch on to the next generation, you know, via IDB. So definitely I give a hats off to you on that. Just real quickly before, you know, we get into all of the hot seat and put you in the question box, I just want to kind of give a rundown of what your day's been like today. So what have Adrian been up to today? Like, what's a typical day for Adrian?
Well, let's see. Adrian started his day. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm being funny. But I started my day today at 4:30. I was in Winston-Salem. I had to be in Greensboro to do like a regular 9-to-5. Also did some ripping and running. Got some auditions going on tonight and tomorrow. Prepping myself to start on a new project tomorrow. It's a project that I've helped write. Some days when I have just a small window of time where I have a little opening in time, I like to go to Barnes & Noble with my laptop, sit down, listen to classical music, and get creative. And
I hear you.
Did a little exercising today. Also, due to my increasingly aging body, sat down next to a new boom, eyes went out.
Oh wow.
Now I'm on the phone talking with the queen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your recognition of calling me a queen. Definitely, I try to, you know, keep myself to a standard. I wouldn't say quite a queen, but at the same token, I definitely try to, you know, pass the mentorship as well. And I know that all eyes are always on you, even when you're asleep. So therefore, you have to be, you know, you have to try to give the best of you. And that's what you want to do every day. That's all I try to do, is to try to pass the torch myself, keep encouraging everyone as well. Me, myself, of course, I think I quit my job 7 times 7, you know, like they say in the Bible, as far as forgiveness. When it comes to acting, when it comes to entertainment, it's not as easy as one would may think it is. A lot of people, they get the concept or they get the mindset that is, oh, you know, when they turn on a TV, oh, that looks so fun. Yeah, there's when you're giving a great story and when you're able to portray someone and bring a character to life and make it a human form and make it relatable, yes, that is the fun part that us actors, you know, feel, but there's a lot of work that's behind the scenes, and definitely I want to get into some of that, some of your ups and your downs. You know, keeping it real is one of the things that I like about SOL, about Speak Out Loud, because it's not just about a radio show or a talk show where we talk about our accomplishments, but it's about our journey with the accomplishments. And to me, it's the journey that means more than the accomplished task, you know, because it's what you had to go through. That's where everybody learns. It's like it's a testimony. And, you know, and so we already know that without a test, we can't have a testimony. So therefore, I just, you know, want to definitely dive into some of that. But I do want to real quickly, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, so I hope that you can stay with me. I mean, you've known me now almost 3 years, so you know I tend, this is not nothing new. When I said I'm jumping around, this is TC every day. I jump around in conversations, so you have to follow along, you know. You have to keep up. So, but I wanted to jump into the Mother Ginger character in the Nutcracker, because I paused right there when I read that, like, wait a minute, maybe he was supposed to be father, brother, or maybe I read that wrong. Or typed it wrong. So tell me about that. Like, when, I mean, for a guy to take on that, a young man, yourself is 32, is still young to me. Definitely, I would say, you know, taking on it. Some people would have, especially men. You know, I know women, we have our things, but I don't think us women have a problem with transgending, if you will, into a character as a male versus a man having to transgender into a woman. So how was that when you first got that call and they told you, hey, this is what I want you to play, and you're excited because you're getting ready to be in the Nutcracker, which is a major, major, you say Nutcracker, nobody not in the world do not know what the Nutcracker is. Everyone knows what the Nutcracker is, you know, no matter where it's playing at. From city to city, state to state. So when you were told that you were going to play Mother Ginger, what was your first reaction?
Well, actually, Well, actually, the way it happened was, the guy, I was actually a 1 day understudy for Mother Ginger, the original Mother Ginger, which is a friend of mine. Shout out to my man Josh, who actually played Charlie in Charlie and Chocolate Factory. So he ended up being my grandson. So,
oh, okay. Well, shout out to Josh.
Yeah, so he was the original Mother Ginger. However, he's also a student at UNCG, and he had an exam one particular performance day that he just could not get out of for any reason, him being a BFA major. So the people over at Greensboro Ballet, they needed someone else. They needed someone to step in and play Mother Ginger. I happened to see it on the email list that UNC that BA majors at UNCG have called Green Room and said, who would be comfortable wearing stilts? And me being the go-getter that I am, I thought, what the heck? I could wear stilts. Excuse me. And so I called the Greensboro Ballet and I said, hey, if you need someone to take the place, if you need someone to step in for Brother Man, I could do it. So they gave me stilts. And as they told me more about this Mother Ginger character, for one thing, Mother Ginger was always written to be played by a man. So I walk. So they give me stilts. I'm taller than I've ever been. I'm walking around the studios of Greensboro Ballet. I actually only fell like twice.
Wow.
Yeah, right. And then come to find out, as with the Mother Ginger character, she's walking in a figure eight on stage with eight little girls up under her dress.
Wow.
So yes, I had to walk on stage looking like the ugliest woman ever. I had to do a figure eight while walking in some extremely painful stilts, and I had to do it while coordinating with eight little girls walking in a figure eight on stage. I'm telling God must have been with me. So what?
I was getting ready to say that God had to be with you, and not to cut you off, but I mean that alone. For one, let's go back to the fact that you were not the original; you were understudy. So it wasn't like you practiced consistently with those eight young children, girls that you had to walk with underneath your stilts and under your garments and things. So that right there, to me, is a challenge by itself. Is because you guys weren't in sync to be one. Meaning that it wasn't something that you did regularly as far as practice with them, and you being the number one, and them being guided by you and you being guided by them. That right there is a challenge by itself. But nevertheless, sounds like you guys pulled it off.
Exactly. Like when I was walking on the stage, I was scared to death. But yeah, but like you said, God was with me, and I was able to stand there, being a woman so ugly that God himself wouldn't have said, don't blame me for that. dancing to the, listening to the music, saluting and whatnot, and I walked off, and I was like, wow, I really just did that. I did that in front of 500 people at the Carolina Theater here in Greensboro. So, and you're right, it was not, it's pretty much something that we had to get together really fast because, the show day was coming up. My man Josh, he was there for rehearsal and stuff, but still he still had his exam due. So, I was really happy that I was able to step in and fill in for him.
Awesome, awesome, and definitely, and that's one thing that, you know, for me, myself, as an acting tip, just to throw it out there real quickly, is when the call comes, you need to be available, especially if this is what you want to do professionally, and definitely, you know, we get a lot of doors that sometimes shut on us, so when one opens, rarely do you want to turn it down, so definitely is always being alert and being aware. Once that call comes in, you need to be available. And so it sounds like to me that you stepped up to the plate, you were available, and you gave it your all. And then, of course, being in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that's got to be amazing, because how was that type of production? I mean, because I know that there's so much dancing, there's singing, there's all kinds of great things going on behind the scenes of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but there's so much going on, like almost as you will, a chaos throughout the whole Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story. You know, it's just so much going on in that story by itself. But could you tell us a little bit, like, dive into that a little bit and tell us how your experience was with playing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Well, I loved being in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like, for one thing, I had an incredible director in Todd Siff. He was a wonderful director. I was Grandpa George. When I was telling people that I was playing a grandpa, they immediately thought about Grandpa Joe, the grandpa who went with Charlie to the chocolate factory. I was like, no, I was the grandpa who was just sitting in the bed, trying not to die.
Right,
that's who I was. And, you know, I could have looked at it as, you know, just a throwaway role. All I had was two lines and whatnot, but in theater is a collaborative effort. It's like multiple pieces going in to make an incredibly beautiful puzzle, and that's exactly how Charlie and Chocolate Factory was. We were dancing, we danced and whatnot to, you know, really get into it. We were playing theatrical games where we were tossing balls to each other so that we could be on one, teaching us to be on one accord. Let's see, the director had me come up with a backstory for our characters. So I came up with a backstory for Grandpa George and how he met Georgina. And one incredible thing is it was such a diverse cast. Like, there's this young lady, I think she's Kenyan, not from Kenya, but, you know, has Kenyan parents, or she's African. Anyway, her parents were played by Caucasian students. Charlie's grandparents, you know, you had me in there, a Caucasian young lady played my wife, a black man played Grandpa Joe, and a Hispanic young lady played Grandma Josephine. It was just very, very diverse. In fact, my director respected Roald Dahl's original viewing of how Charlie was. See, Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was originally supposed to be a black kid.
Right.
But
yeah,
his agent talked him into making him a white kid.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said earlier, my man Josh Anderson, he ended up playing Charlie, and it was a great experience. Me, I was able to take the Grandpa George character, make it my own, put every single I'm old theory into it.
Right.
I fell off the bed. People thought I was legitimately an old man. So yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I know you did, and you know what? And one thing that I have learned, Adrian, too, as well. I think it's just by experience that you get to experience this. It's kind of one of those things you can talk about it all day, but until you actually, you know, live out the experience of it, that's when you get to know that. I'm glad that you said, you know, no matter how small the role was or the fact that you had two lines, you still made sure you gave, you know, your all, because, and you looked at that as if it was the main character role. And that's how I think that everyone should look, you know, all of us actors and actresses, that it shouldn't be just about how small your part is or how significant it is or how insignificant it is, but the fact that you're in it, like you said, to as a team, to bring forth something great. And I found, actually, out of the lead roles that I've played, all the way down to the supporting roles, the hardest role that I actually played was where I was a mute. I couldn't speak, but I had to interact with my actions. And sometimes we can convey actions in our movements and our faces that we think we're giving off correctly, and you could be all wrong, you know, as far as what the camera needs to capture. And so to me, one of the hardest roles I actually had was not speaking. And it was because I had to speak through my facial expressions. I had to speak through my body language, and everything had to convey the story that was going on over the voiceover. So it was, you know, to me, I think that's important for some people to know that even with a speaking role or a non-speaking role, it's not always easy just because it's non-speaking, you know, because you're not just sitting there, you know, looking like I like to call them a deer, how we look with a deer with the dead headlights, or however they say, I never can get that saying correctly, but
right.
People say, hey, why do you look like a deer with, or, you know, a headlight with deers, or deers with headlights, something to that nature. Help me out. You know what it is, right?
A deer and headlights.
Right, there you go. But nevertheless, that's not what you're doing on stage or, you know, in film when you're playing a mute role or a role with less lines. You have to still interact. You have to show that you're still a part. And you have to, I mean, all the way down to being a tree. You have to sway if the wind is blowing. Like, there's just so much more to a non-speaking role than there is a speaking role, you know, because once words come out of our mouth, automatically our body and our senses start to, you know, convey what we're speaking. But when you're just mute and you have to convey, you know, the story, it's not as easy as it seems. So hats off to you on that one too as well, and especially with playing, you know, an older person as well, because, you know, we could, in youth, we're so youthful that, you know, falling out of bed could have looked more like a child falling out of bed versus a grandpa. And like you said, when you fell out of bed, people really thought you were an old man. And that's what you want, is to have that type of a, I know for me, when I'm on stage, when I come off stage and I'm interacting with, you know, I like to call them family. I don't like to say, you know, fans or whoever has came out to see it. But when I'm interacting with the family and they're telling me back about my character or how they enjoyed it, you know, I love to get that type of feedback that they were right there with it. Or they, you know, oh, my God, I thought you almost got hurt, Grandpa George, when you got out of bed. You know, like they feel that moment. And when you can get those type of responses, that's when you know that you've been used by God, you know, that you played, that you were that character. You were no longer just playing a character, but you had became Grandpa George, you know, at that moment. And that's to me, is has always been a great feeling for me, is to for somebody to not look at me, but to look at the character and say, man, I wanted to help you, or I wanted to do this, you know, or that was awesome. And that's where I, you know, that's good. That's the best thing feeling that I could give, or the best way to describe that feeling for me. And that, so I know that was fun to play in that too as well. And like you said, you guys were doing all kind of great stuff in there. Awesome. So I do want to kind of dive forward a little bit. I do know that you were into, and I want to congratulate you too as well, because I know that you had just recently got some great news. I think it was like last month, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, with your, one of your plays that you have written. And it was, I think it was put into a festival or something to that nature. I don't want to give it away, as you will. I'd rather you speak it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah. My play that I wrote, Time, it was workshopped at UNCG last week. So, and I received some incredible feedback for it. And now I've been assigned a spot at the Southeastern Theater Conference in Mobile, Alabama. There's this thing called the Playwrights Corner, and I've been assigned to bring Time with me. So, yeah, I've been able to I've been able to workshop it, and now I'm taking it with me to the Southeastern Theater Conference.
Awesome, awesome. And you guys be on the lookout of that too as well. It's called Time. You will hear about it. You will see it. Again, shout out to UNC as well. I know that that's a nice school. I've read nothing but actually great things concerning UNC when it comes to looking at the schools in general in North Carolina and the colleges and what they're offering the students, you know, and the diversity. And that's one thing I can say about the UNCG is that there's a lot of diversity out there, and they're pushing, you know, these dreams. It's not always just about the curriculum, but they're pushing the dreams and awakening the dreams in us young people. And that's what I see when I look at the you know, at UNC and what they have to offer. So definitely, I mean, of course, I'm not an alumni of them, but definitely, you know, I love to read about the colleges of where I stay at and what they're doing, you know, for us people out here. You know, what are they doing to help us be better, productive citizens and to be leaders, you know, because that's what we're basically put on earth to be, is to take on the torch that our forefathers have passed on and become leaders too as well, and keep on, you know, and keep on going and letting that light shine even further than we can imagine. But nevertheless, back to what we're talking about, we're going to stay on task here. I've just got a couple questions for you. One of the things that I did want to ask you, though, everything we go through in life, you know, we go through a whole lot of things. Could you unpack that little, what that means to you, like, you know, from doing all the acting that you're doing, all the stage plays, the films that you've been through, the ups and the downs, the challenges that you faced in acting, whether if it was financial or just the fact of being turned down in a role or feeling like overwhelmed. So everything that you have been through up to this point, could you give us a little bit, unpack a little bit of what that means to you?
Well, I know that the fact that I'm even an actor that is, you know, as the Most High, you know, probably using me to get through to some dreamer out there. The reason why is because when I was little, when I was younger, growing up, I used to be like a very, very shy person. And I mean so shy that I wouldn't even want to say anything to anyone. Whenever people would come around, I would go run and hide behind my mom. Like, mm-hmm. I had an extremely low self-esteem, very self-conscious, and I was very shy. And I still remember when I was in 10th grade, I had to sing for a chorus exam, and at the time puberty was tearing my voice up. My voice cracked, and that made me scared to ever sing in front of people ever again. So fast forward, as I'm getting into acting, I've been able to take upon roles that had me speaking in an African accent. And people actually thought that I was legitimately African. I've sang solos. Like, last year I sang a solo in Annie. The year before I sang a solo in the musical Working. And both times I was just thinking about when I was in high school and my voice was cracking up on me. And
yeah.
I'm still scared to sing in front of people, but it's like God was like, I got you. You can, go ahead and use the gift that I gave you.
Right,
like,
definitely.
And there's been some challenges. I've dealt with some really difficult people, but I'm the type of person, if you're difficult to me, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself before I completely write you off. As far as finances go, as far as finances go, you know, a lot of my theater work has been community theater, and community theater is not a paying gig at all, but I do see it as a great way to, like, hone your craft before pursuing a profession. So I remember I was once told, if you want to get rich, if you want to make a lot of money, don't do theater. And I would agree. I'm the type, I say, if you love theater and you want to be fulfilled, go for it 100%, because when it's all said and done, you have taken your last breath, you're standing before God, God's not going to ask you how much money did you make. God's going to ask you, what did you do with the gifts and the resources that he gave you, for this life.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you. And that's a good way to sum that up, too, as well. And that's a good way to think. Now, on that note, motivation is important within the acting profession, of course. And to me, motivation in life, period. But in the acting profession, it's definitely important. What would you say is your motivator currently?
Well, my current motivation is just thinking about where I come from, being a shy fat kid from Shelby to where I'm at now. excuse me. Educationally, a person who motivates me the most is my friend Mike Burke. Mike is like 62, 63 years old. But there were times before he hit 60s, we were classmates at Forsyth Tech when I was going to Forsyth Tech in Winston-Salem. And, you know, we were in classes where he was older than a teacher, and most of the students in the class were in their early 20s or fresh out of the teens or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mike did not let that stop him or anything. Mike just kept going. He knew what he wanted to get, and he knew that he could possibly learn from being there. Mike has a very teachable spirit, and that's one thing that I learned from watching him, is I need to have a very teachable spirit. And as I was at Guilford College and as I'm currently at UNCG, I'm older than most of my classmates. Most of my classmates, you know, they were born when I was in – most of my classmates, most of my collegiate peers, they were born while I was in ninth grade, you know, watching Cash Money put it down for the 99-2000. I think you know what I'm talking
right.
about.
Yeah.
while I was enjoying all that, being a teenager doing all that, they were born. But I've decided, you know, blessed are the meek and the humble. I decided to humble myself enough to know that even though on a life scale, I'm way ahead of where they're at, on an educational scale, they're way ahead of where I'm at. So what I'm doing is I'm playing catch up, and I have to have a teachable spirit to know that, hey, even though I'm the oldest one in here, I'm still young enough to learn a thing or two. And I think that can help make me or anybody not only a better student, but someone who's better at profession or their calling in life, and a better person, because you can take that humble and teachable spirit into any field of life.
Absolutely, and you hit it right on the nose to me as well, and I appreciate you putting that out there, because that's important to me, and you know, for those listening in, definitely ADQ hit it right on the nose, the fact that it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are or how much you know. You still need to have a teachable spirit, and that's one thing. There's a saying, there's old fools as well as young fools, and so don't be, just because you're older, like you said, and you're looking at your peer group that you're around as them being younger than you or being born when you were just hitting high school yourself, yet and still you guys are on the same plank right now, and not looking at them as, oh, well, I know more than you because I'm older than you and I'm more experienced, but the fact that you stay humble and you keep a teachable spirit. And that's something, and you said you learned that from, I believe his name was Mike, you said?
Yes, and another thing that I learned, without prolonging it too much, but another thing that I learned was, you know, also in life, in the theatrical field, in anything that we set our minds to, you know, we got to be willing to take risks and just jump in there and get out of our comfort zones. I think that as a society, a lot of us get too used to our comfort zone to the point where we're willing to just miss out on stuff and take a lot of crap in order to remain comfortable. And I learned when I moved here to Greensboro and gave up my comfortable life in Winston-Salem that I got to get out of my comfort zone and really see what's out there for me. And so far I've been able to act in two college plays ever since doing that, and, you know, a lot of other work in film and whatnot. And you know, there's no there's no reward without risk. I mean, it's not going
right.
to come. It's not just going to come to you.
I understand that, and you said that right. There's no reward without risk. If you don't step out on faith and activate that faith, not just step out, but activate the faith as well, and go for it, then, you know, what's going to be the reward? There is no reward, because your reward basically is that you didn't try. You know, so definitely I believe in that too as well, stepping out and taking the risk when it comes to what you feel your dreams are and what your passions are, and stepping out of your comfort zone. You said a good key as well, because even as actors, we find our niche real quickly once we get out on that field, whether it's theater or the, you know, whether it's stage or film, we find our niche, what we're good at. And once you find that niche, you know, you want to stick in that comfort zone. But for you to grow, for you to, you know, be more diverse, as you will, as you mentioned earlier, as far as being diverse and showing the diversity, I think that you have to step out of those roles that are not in your comfort zone and step into those uncomfortable roles to see how, I mean, you would never know. Like you stated, you'll never know if you don't take the risk. So hats off to you on that. And speaking of that, since we're on this actual playing field, what is one of the hardest roles you've ever had to play and why?
Well, Mother Ginger was pretty hard, but I would say that one of my most challenging roles, I was in this play called Even the Rich Like Me back in 2011. And at the time I had just come off the heels of playing Reverend Sykes in To Kill a Mockingbird. So that was like my first non-musical role. So I had to play this guy named Rodney, who is living a very dark life, who's in jail serving 25 to life. Rodney cries. Rodney has an attitude problem. Rodney is just in a very, very dark place. And I was coming to that from, you know, doing mostly musical theater, so, and a lot of musicals, not all, but a lot of musicals are very, you know, lighthearted and whatnot. So I had to take myself to a very, very dark place, and I was told that I did a great job. I think that had I had a chance to do that role now, I probably would have done it better, but that was a very challenging role, having to take myself to an extremely dark place like that. Excuse me. Also, I was in A Raisin in the Sun and playing Oscar Guy. You know, I had to work on my Southern accent and sound like a West African. I watched Hotel Rwanda. I talked to some friends of mine who are from Africa, one from Nigeria, one from Liberia. I try to talk like Oscar Guy. I asked if I sounded at least remotely African or if I sounded stupid. But I managed to pull it off, and people thought that I was legitimately African. I was like, no, I'm not African. I'm from Shelby, North Carolina.
But you were able to pull that role off.
Yes.
Now, did you do any? I know that you said that. I'm sorry, not to cut you off, Adrian. But in speaking in this role, I want to kind of dive in a little bit, because that's something that I think that would bring out too as well a great acting tip. But I know that you said that you had to take on a role where you were of African descent, basically speaking that way too as well, to kind of give that traditional accent. But did you take on any classes to get that, you know, to get the pronunciation, or did you watch any? What did you do to prepare for you to? I mean, I know that you just didn't wake up, get the script, and say, "Well, I'm going to speak African today." What did you do to prepare for that? How did you, you know, get people to believe that you pretty much had that type of accent, or that you may have came from a different part of the continent?
Well, one thing that was preparing me was I was also rehearsing for a play that I was doing with the Black Red Teen Theater Ensemble. It was actually an African play called The Dawn of Full Moon. The writer, Osita Ezewanabe, was, you know, she's African and whatnot, so I would listen to her talk, and I would listen to what she would say as I was talking as an African in that as well. There's that, and I was watching the movie A Raisin in the Sun, and I would see how Asuka in that was talking. I remember watching Hotel Rwanda, and like I said, I would talk with African friends and whatnot, and see where was I, how was I sounding as I was building the accent. And I didn't take any classes, but I should have. And you know, if I was doing it now, I would definitely take classes and cover all bases I possibly can in order to, you know, sound legitimately African. Because one thing I wouldn't ever want to do is stereotype, you know, African people who are actually from Africa. Me being an African American, that would be extremely disrespectful, and I wouldn't want to do that.
I understand that. And then, too, as well, you made a good point on that, too, as well, because it's not always how we sound, too, as well. I know that myself, I always prepare and research, and I love, because I love reading. You know, I love traveling the world via the Internet. I, you know, thank God for a lot of the diversity that we have with technology nowadays, because it allows us to go places that we may not financially be able to actually step foot into at this moment. But you can still go that route as long as you're willing to put in the patience and the research, you know, to do it. And one thing that I've learned with some of the different places that I've studied, especially in school too, in BSU, they always make you study different countries and continents, and you know, because you may do business with those places. So I know that in school, when I was doing my business management classes, a lot of the things that we talked about when it comes to going somewhere else, like in Africa, it's not always about how you sound or what you're mimicking to sound like, but it's also in the body language. It's awesome because there's certain things that a handshake, me to reach out my hand, as Americans do, we love to give handshakes and we love to, you know, give eye contact, whereas in another place, that could be total disrespect. So if you're playing an African role and you have to, you know, take on this role and make yourself portrayed to be this person, you know, you have to not just study the words and mimic the person, you know, that language, but you also have to study their you know, the way they are, their culture, and whether if you need to look down when you're speaking, you know, or whether if you're not handshaking but you're nodding your head, whatever it is, you have to definitely make sure that you're in tune with all of that. And I think as actors, when we take on those diverse roles like that, or when we want to stretch ourselves internationally, that we need to make sure that we're doing that. And like you said, if you do it now versus that, you know, then when you were doing it, you would definitely take on more classes, and I give you a hats off to that too as well, because you know that's showing that teachable spirit as well. Again, as you, like you mentioned earlier, and I think that's one thing that us actors or us people, period, is that we need to have teachable spirits. No matter how much we know, there's always another outcome. You know, there's always another outlook, and so we have to just be willing to be open, and to, you know, realize that we can be sponges no matter what age group we come from. So I think that that's important, too, as well as learning the culture behind the characters that we play, not just the role itself, the character itself, but the culture that person was in, you know.
Exactly.
That plays a big role. That plays a big part of it, too.
Exactly. I will tell you another challenge real quick. 2008, when I actually got back into theater, when I was in this musical called Seussical, it was a musical based off of Dr. Seuss's stories and whatnot.
Okay.
Getting back into the flow of theater and whatnot, and this was my first play in 6 years. It was very difficult because I'm wearing woman's pants, I'm wearing an extremely ugly, I'm wearing an extremely goofy wig and whatnot. I'm supposed to be a lion. I'm doing a whole bunch of singing and dancing. This was something new but exciting, something that I loved. I love my time at Seussical School, but it was something very challenging because I was coming into that, I was just going to do one play and, you know, just get that whole actor thing in me, that was in me. I was just going to do that and be done with it and throw myself completely into gospel rapping. At the time, I was wanting to be the biggest gospel rapper ever, pretty much with Lecrae and NFR. But, you know, obviously it didn't work out like that. You want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
I'm telling you, and, that, and it's so true when you say that. It's not a joke when he says that you guys, ADQ, is speaking and giving y'all some wisdom. You want to tell God, you want to make him laugh, tell him your plans, you know, and ultimately you might drive yourself crazy trying to, you know, go outside of what God has for you just because he's, you know, it's just not going to work. But definitely I believe in keeping God first in everything. And that's one thing that I think that we need to bring back to the forefront too as well, especially in acting. You know, I always talk about Hollywood and you know, Christians, Hollywood and Hollywood is what I call it. And, you know, some people, we fall off, you know, you've seen people fall off because of standards that they have to have or because of certain things that they cannot talk about when they get to a certain, you know, type of a situation or a certain bracket. And that's one thing that I think that we need to let go of and we need to bring back to the forefront, because without God, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You know, he's the reason that you woke up to be able to do what you're doing for today, you know, or produce what you're producing for today or write what you're writing for today. So why not keep him at the forefront when he woke you up to do it? You know what I mean? So I think that that's something big. That's one of my heart things is trying to keep that in the forefront and to get us actors as we keep on going through our daily films and theater and all the exciting things that we are taking on in a different roles is to remember where we come from, remember the journey, remember who woke you up to get that journey, remember, you know, to keep your spiritual ground intact. If the spiritual ground is intact, everything else will just fall into play and you won't have a shaky ground, but you'll have a solitude ground, you know, to walk on firmly. So I hats off to that. I know you've mentioned God several times throughout this conversation, so I know it sounds like to me that you're keeping, you know, your spiritual ground and intact, and that you're keeping God at the forefront. And that's something that I think that when passing the torch, we need to make sure that our next generation understands that too as well. Because not everybody wakes up today and goes to church. Not everybody wakes up and there was a time growing up, and you mentioned about our ages, where it was not a question. It was something that you had to do. Nowadays, it's a question. You know, the kids are not forced or not forced. I hate to say the word forced, but they're not. It's not encouraged the way that it was when I was growing up. It was something that you had to do. It was a part of our culture. Whereas now, it's not. It's seeming like we're dimming that light as far as it being a part of the culture side and more of a choice. And I don't think it should ever be a choice. I think it should stay in the forefront of cultureness because it's what's made us. You know what I mean? You can't do anything without it.
Yeah, well, I haven't. Well, this is my opinion. This is my opinion on that. Like, me too. Me also. When I was coming up, every other Sunday, me and my cousin Christian would throw the bow ties on, and we had to go with my grandmother to church, Green Bethel Baptist Church. Shout out to them. I did my first play ever there. Anyway, I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But anyway, yeah, we had to go to church. I hated it, but I was little. And also, in my mom's house, when we did not go to church, we would always read the Bible, and she would teach me and my little sister Tia about faith, about praying. She taught us how to pray and all of it. However, now, as I look at how parents are giving their kids more choices on whether or not to go to church, you know, me, I'm kind of like in the middle with it. On one hand, I'm like, hey, you know, it's your house. It's like the scripture says, choose the day who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On the other hand, when a child becomes a certain age, if you're forcing them to go to church, that completely alleviates the the whole spiritual desire to go to church, and now you're just going because mama or daddy told you to, and you're not really getting anything, as if you're pretty much like sitting there waiting for the pastor to go ahead and get through benediction so you can go home and eat. So
true. But there is this thing that train up a child in the way that he should go and he should not depart from it. And the thing is, even though we, you know, would say, oh, well, you know, it was forced back then or whatever have you, and it should be a choice, there's a certain time where what you choose and what you're trained to do, that's just like school. You don't want to go to school. I hated going to school, even though I got, you know, good A's and went off to college and things like that, but it wasn't something I said, oh, I want to get up and do this every day. You know, after a while, you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't stand going to this place. But yet and still, the benefit from it, the beneficial, what I needed from it, the nurturance that I needed from it, to be able to be productive, to be able to do the Speak Out Loud talk show I'm doing today, to be able to pronounce word, although sometimes I make up my own words, but to be able to do that even, I had to be trained that way. And it's the same thing with church, you know, with your spirituality more so. It's not about the church. When I speak church, I'm not just talking about a building. Know that. I'm talking about the church, which is us, your temple, what God has given you, what he's telling you to put in it, what he's telling you to put out of it, you know, and that's where that's the church. But using the actual the experience or the, you know, a likeness by saying, hey, when we were growing up, it was something that we had to do. We don't do that to our children. I think that that's something that that has to be, you know, I mean, I couldn't know a spiritual walk if I wasn't ever trained to know what a spiritual walk is. If it was just my choice, then, you know what I mean, I'm not going to choose to do something that I feel like, you know, everybody else is not doing. Or, you know what I'm saying, like, it's not going to be, it's just that there's a line there. But I get what you're saying as far as you're still on the fence with that, because I can understand that, you know, as far as, you know, the way that it is. But we can go on, and we can write books concerning it. We can even do stage plays and films concerning it. Nevertheless, back to the topic at hand. But definitely, I just wanted to give you kudos on the fact that you do keep God first, you know, in everything, no matter what, and that you do have a spiritual walk, and that you are, you know, making sure that you showing that light and you're passing that torch, because you do. I know from the time that I've known you, you know, we've had plenty of great conversations when it comes to talking about God and talking about, you know, our visions and things that we feel God is giving to us and what we feel is right and what we feel is not right. And we don't always agree, but we're always able to agree to disagree and walk away still friends and foes, you know. So that's the whole point behind that whole thing, is that no matter what you believe as far as for yourself, as long as you believe in God and as long as you keep that at the forefront, you know, God, and you keep your spiritual self grounded enough to keep yourself teachable, as you mentioned earlier, then I don't think you can go wrong, you know, within your walk. Real quickly, I'm going to give a quick little break real quick and let you give a moment of silence. If you want to take a drink of water or wet your whistle, whatever have you, real quick, I want to give a shout out to all the February birthdays as well. Today is February the 12th, so we want to give a happy, happy birthday to the February the 12th babies, as well as the whole month of February. Happy birthday to you guys. Valentine's Day is coming up. That is not just a day for women. That is a day for men and women all over the world. So definitely make sure that you show love, not just to a significant other, but your moms, your family, the elderly down the street. Let's show love even more. We should show it daily, but let's show love to that person that may be by themselves and not have their loved ones there to be able to do it. And I think that's what, you know, some holidays that we get into, that should be a forefront reminder for us too as well. Also, if you enjoyed us tonight, please give us feedback. I would love to hear how we're doing, you know, what we're doing, what topics and questions should we be asking our cast and production experts. And last but not least, if you believe you have what it takes and you said to yourself, self, I can do this, I can act, or I can interview, remember, like and follow our pages. We love hearing from you all. Remember that we're here for you. You can follow us on Facebook at Speak Out Loud Cast versus Production, which is Speak Out Loud CVSTP. Or you can follow us on the Blog Talk Radio, which is actually and I want to give a shout out to Bless Hands for You for sponsoring the SOL show as well. Definitely, we have some great things going on behind the scenes with our ministry too. We are right now, ADQ, and we're having a fundraiser for the Too Real for You soap opera series, and the pilot It will be filmed potentially the second week or somewhere in July. We're not even going to give a date yet, but it's coming up. We are casting. There's going to be auditions, casting calls going out, you guys. So look, be on the lookout for that. You can follow me on Facebook. You can follow my mom as well. You can follow Too Real For You to get more insight on that. You can follow www.tworealforyou.com, or excuse me, tworealforyou.org. So that's www.tworealforyou.org to find out more concerning this. But the Too Real For You soap opera TV series, we're asking everyone to help us bring this series to the OWN TV network today. We're selected to send in a 60-minute pilot of the series Too Real For You. So we need sponsors. We need donations. We need you. We need actors, producers. We need them all today to make the blessing come true and to the forefront. Watch the videos that we have on YouTube. We have some great videos, promotional videos going on. It's giving you the insight of what we're getting ready to bring forward. You can also donate by going to www.youcaring.com/ the number 2, R-E-A-L, the number 4, the letter U, soap opera series. That is youcaring.com, Too Real For You soap opera series. To learn more about this inspirational drama field, hold on to your seat TV series. Again, visit us at www.tworealforyou.org. And if you're a female, a male, a dog, a cat, or a tree, like I stated earlier, we are casting for extras. So keep a lookout on that, too, as well, by following me on Facebook, your girl, actress Tavessa Guilford. Contact Evangelist Weaver at blesshandsforyou@gmail.com, and that is B-L-E-S-S-H-A-N-D-S, the number 4, the letter U, at gmail.com. You can send her a small bio along with a headshot. With last remarks, I am your girl, actress TCG. I want to say peace and blessings. I'm going to give the forefront. This hour goes by so quick, and when you're having fun, you know, you just never know how quick it goes by. I swear, I was going to play some music. We didn't even get to that break because it was just so good. Adrian had us on the hot seat as well, so the SOL got to learn. We got to be a sponge, and I appreciate you coming on, my brother. I would love to have you back as well because I do want to talk about and follow you for the time, the one that you wrote, and I do want to put that out there more too as well. Real quickly, if you can give us where people can find you. I know that we talked a little bit and gave them a little bit of insight into you, but give people where they can find you and follow you. What social media sites are you on?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Adrian Dion Quarles, A-D-R-I-A-N-D-I-O-N-Q-U-A-R-L-E-S. Find me, request me, and also I'm on Twitter at @AvenueADQ_85. That's @AvenueADQ_85. excuse me, that's Twitter. Instagram at Dion Chocolate God, lowercase G-O-D, at Dion Chocolate God 85. Also, my email is ADQ4Christ@gmail.com and ADQUARLE at UNCG.edu. Those are the
awesome
avenues that can be reached there.
Now, you guys, I know that that was a lot to take in. I'm going to do you one even better, too, as well. And this interview is recorded, so we will put it out there for you guys to be able to replay and to press pause and to write down his information to be able to follow this young man. I'm telling you, great things is getting ready to come with ADQ and that have already, too, as well. Keep your head ahead, ADQ. Keep your head ahead. And I know that probably sounds funny, but it makes a whole lot of sense. Keep your head ahead. Look to the hills to come, you know, from what's cometh your help, because definitely your help is coming from God and that your light shines. And what you're doing with the limitations. And I wanted to kind of get into that because there's so many people out here that are diagnosed with limitations and people put, you know, on paper, say one thing about someone and then that limitates people to reach for the stars or to reach for their dreams. And I think that we need more people like you and myself, you know, out here to show, hey, no matter what limitations man says, God says otherwise, and that you can still, you know what I'm saying, give more and be a part of more. But you guys, Google him too as well. You can Google Adrian Quarles and you'll be able to pull up everything and things that are about him too as well that he's doing and be able to follow him. But also you're able to listen back to this actual show, hear his sites, his Facebook site, his social sites, his IG, his email that he gave you guys. So you're able to pull that up too as well. But nevertheless, again, you have joined us on the SOL. We appreciate you guys. Remember that helping you helps us. And this was the edition of SOL. I am going to go out with a last word from my boy ADQ. Thank you again for coming on and blessing the SOL with your grace. Again, the doors are open for you to come back anytime. Just hit me up, and I'll definitely make sure I get you back on the schedule to get you back out here to speak more on the time. Again, congratulations on your shows and your writing and everything like that too as well. And your last remarks, and then I'm going to play us out a song by Corinne Hawthorne, Won't He Do It, after ADQ.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Teresa. I'm sorry, Teresa, for having me. Really enjoy it. Thank you so much. Anytime you have me back, I'm down. And also, I would just like to say to the audience, you know, keep God first. Never count yourself out. I was diagnosed as mildly retarded and with ADHD when I was little. And I dropped out of high school when I was 18. Now I'm a junior at UNCG, writing and acting and following my dreams. So, you know, man gives you a no, but God gives you a huge yes. All you got to do is just trust in God. And assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother. And on that note, we're going to listen to Corinne, Won't You Do It, because I love this song. I think it's such an encouraging song.
All time.